So I want to talk to you tonight about what Satan doesn't want you to hear. Oh, no. Did somebody have a hard time getting to church today? Okay, yes. And you worked through it, did you not? You're here. Okay. Well, you won't be glad you're here. Satan does, for those of you who worked through it, for others of you who just came out of obedience to God, I'm just telling you, Satan doesn't want you to hear this message. Turn to John chapter 17, and we'll start with verse 9. John chapter 17, starting with verse 9. And this is what some people call the last prayer of Jesus. One of his last, the last prayer that he prayed, before he went to the cross. And he says, I pray for them, them is you. Say, them is me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. So this is specifically to Christians. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and mine and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Go back to that 10th verse for a second. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. Do you see this connection here of oneness? Somebody say oneness. It's not like, oh, you know what? That's my soda. You know what I mean? That's my Dr. Pepper. You know what I mean? That's my, you know, no. What's mine is yours, and what's yours are mine. There's this, they're both. Do you see that? Okay. Next verse, 11. Now, I am no longer in the world, but those are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, and they may be one as we are one. How many know Jesus and the Father were inseparable? They didn't have two opinions, they had one opinion. And when Jesus had another opinion, he submitted himself to the Father's opinion. So they had one opinion. Does that make sense? Oh, that's a good thing to say. When you disagree with God, change your mind. Amen? Because he's smarter than you. Amen? All right. your name... Your name, okay, that they might may be one as we are one. Now, skip down to verse 20. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, and as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. So Jesus prays that you and I would be one, but he also prays that we together would be one with the Father. Do you catch this? You know, it's like, you know, you're making some cake, you know what I mean? And you've got the butter, and you got the flour, and you got the sugar, and you got the yeast, and you got whatever else you're making a cake. You know what? I don't make cakes. But you get a blender, and you blend it all together, and you don't go, you're not eating like the cake. You're like, oh, I'm eating the butter now. You know what I mean? You don't say that, right? Why? Because it's all one. It was mixed all together. You can't separate. When the cake is baked, you can't, even before it's baked, you can't separate the butter out. They're all one. That's what God wants you and I to be one, but he wants us all to be one with the Father. Does that make sense? That they may also be one in us, and the world may believe that you sent me. Next verse. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Somebody say, woo! Woo! that they might be one just as we are one. The glory, that supernatural power to be one, you can do that because you have the glory of God. Did you see that? Go back to 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Say, I've got God's glory. Say, I've got the same glory that God gave Jesus. Wow, I could sit there and maybe that'll be part of my sermon on Sunday. Because it really goes in line with what I'm saying. But that they might be one just as we're one. Why do you have that supernatural ability that God gave Jesus? Why? So that they might be one just as we are one. This one, could somebody recognize, hey, this is important to God? Okay, next verse. I in them and you in me. I in them and you in me. I in them and you in me. Just like the batter, it's all mixed together. That they might be made perfect in one. Wow. Somebody say, perfection comes as we are united. Perfection comes as we are united. That's when perfection comes. You see that? That they might be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. Okay. What is the devil's motivation? What motivates the devil? What is the devil's motivation? Here's his motivation. He wants to divide us. What does he use? It doesn't make any difference. A lot of people think he uses black and white, or black and Hispanic, or black and Asian, or Asian and black, or you know what I mean? This race issue, which he will use that. I remember one time, a long time ago, one of the first times he came out, and Armstrong was sitting in our living room, and he was talking about the thousands of different languages that is part of Africa. I mean, just thousands of different dialects. And even in his country, hundreds of different dialogues and dialects. And he started talking about how these sections of people, how they hate each other and they war with each other all the time. And I recognized, you know what, they're all black. And it taught me something, because I recognize it doesn't have to do with color. Color is just an excuse for division. Amen. You know what? How many know the two families in the yeah, how many know the Hatfields and the McCoys? How many know, how many of the Hatfields were white? How many of the McCoys were white? See, it's not about a race. Satan will use race, but he'll use anything, because he doesn't care about anything. You know what I mean? How many know, ugly people, some ugly people hate pretty people. Amen? I'm just saying, you know what I mean? How many know some, you know what? Pioneer Titans, you know what, hate Whittier Cardinals. It is ridiculous, you know what I mean? Dodgers and Angels, you know, oh, Dodgers and Giants. Hello? I mean, craziness. You know what? There was a guy, and he was a Dodger fan, and I think he went up to San Francisco, and he, you know what, got beaten. You know what was, you know, I mean, just, I don't know if he got murdered, but he was beaten so bad he was in a coma, and you know what? When he got out, he years and years of rehabilitation. Over baseball? I mean, I hate the Giants, but really? I really could care less, to be honest. I really, I could care less. Amen? You want me to help you with your
your sports dysfunction? You want me to help you? Here, let me help you. You know what? The Dodgers have a bunch of players that are playing for them that grew up in San Francisco. I'm just saying. And San Francisco has a bunch of people playing for them who, you know what, grew up in Los Angeles. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Satan's motivation is for division. Why? Why? Well, number one, if you're taking notes, and I want you, if you haven't learned to take notes, come in ready to receive. Get a notepad, get a pen, get an iPad. You know what? Don't get a stone and chisel because I go too fast. But learn to honor, listen, learn to honor the Word of God when you come in. I never came in to Pastor Bradford's office, say never, without a pen and a pencil. Because when Pastor Bradford saw me without a pen and a pencil, I was communicating to him that what he said wasn't very important.
Pastor, man, are you testy today?
No, I'm a teacher. Amen? You remember more what you write down than what you just hear. Amen? Listen, I gotta tell you what, I'm not messing around. I think this stuff is important. Amen? And I think the body of Christ has got to start to take, you know what, way more serious. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that that there was a church, and when the Apostle Paul came, they acted like, I have a hard time saying this because I don't want to be misunderstood that I want you to treat me like God. Amen? But they understood that was their covering, that was an apostle, and they treated him with incredible honor. The Bible says they acted like they honored him like they would honor Jesus. Amen? Amen. I believe if Jesus was here, he'd go, "What's up? Where's your pen? Where's your notepad?" I don't think that. I do. Amen? How many know the reason why you have this Bible in front of you is because somebody wrote it down? And I'm not equating this message to, it's not the same as the written word. How many know I'm not saying that? But what I'm saying is, how many know every single Wednesday and Sunday, we're not teaching out of, you know what, the Book of Mormon. Amen? How many know we don't teach out of Harry Potter? Amen. This is important. Let me God is speaking to me, and he's been doing this ever since the beginning of the year as he taught us about ripe. But I'm telling you what, he wants the body of Christ to get way more serious about serving him, about giving, about serving, about attitudes, about honoring the man of God, about following direction, about divine order. Amen? And we need to get rid of our casualness. You know, grace is awesome. But we have, how many know there can be a distortion of grace? How many know there can be a distortion of grace? What is that? That's thinking you can do whatever you want and it doesn't make any difference. And you are deceived. And I'm just saying. You say, but Pastor, you know what? A message like this, what if somebody's here for the first time? What if somebody is here for this first time? You think Paul had a different message to people? Listen, if it's good enough for you, isn't it good enough for them? In our effort to be seeker friendly. You know, can I tell you what I believe a balance of seeker friendly means? So if you don't know that term, it means we want a church where people can feel welcome. Now, let me tell you what a biblical understanding of what I believe that means. Here's what that means. It means, you know what? If we can afford air conditioning, let's turn the air conditioner on. Amen? Can somebody say amen? It means, you know what, if we have a choice between, you know what, a hard pew, you know what I mean, and a nice chair with some cush, let's get a nice chair with some cush. Amen? Amen. If we have a choice between a jacked up sound system and a good sounding sound system, let's get the good sounding sound system. Amen? And let's not think that God can't afford a good sound system. Amen? Let's not take the same mentality that woman who betrayed Jesus, that Judas had, you know what, when that lady dumped some, you know, on purpose, you know what, anointed Jesus with this precious oil, and you know what, let me tell you what, the religious will always, they have a spirit of criticism. Amen? Now, let me tell you what, we want to make sure that we're doing things with excellence around here. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you what, that's, how many know that's the best way to do things? Amen? Amen. You do it the cheap way and you got to buy it four times. Amen? Amen? You do it the right way, you buy it once, you spend more money, but you do it right. Amen? Amen. That has been our mentality. I learned that from Pastor Bradford, and that's the best stewardship in the world. But we don't have to have a poverty mentality. Amen? But what we need to do is get serious about the things of God. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm just saying. I'm smiling, right? Amen. I'm smiling, right? Here's what I'm saying. Come in on Sunday with a notepad and a pencil. Amen. Or an iPad or something. Amen. That you can take some notes. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. My iPad went to blank because I was talking too long. Amen.
Amen.
Why is the devil so motivated with division? Here's why. Because that's who he is. Somebody say, that's who he is. The Greek word for the devil is diabolos. But the root word that's shared, it's a verb, it's diablolang. Diablolang. And you know what that means? You know what that verb means? It means to split. In other words, in Satan's name itself, it means to split or to divide. Why? Because that's who he is. Amen? That's absolutely who he is, number one. It's just in him. I mean, when he was in heaven, you know, you think you'd be happy you're in heaven. Amen? But no, he's got an attitude. I was meditating on this the other day because somebody said, how in the world could he rebel against God? And I thought, obviously. How many know? Sometimes things are so simple. You know what I mean? We get, you know what I mean? And I thought, obviously, you know what? Even the angels had some choices. Somebody say, obviously. I mean, is that not obvious? Obviously. Because one third of the angels went with him. Amen. They had some choice. And in his name is division. Number one. Number two, he hates the Father, he hates the Son, and he hates the Holy Spirit. And he hates their unity. He hates all three of them, and he hates that they are unable to be divided. Number three, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark chapter 3, verse 24. Mark chapter 3, verse 24. A house divided. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom not usually won't stand. It can't stand. It cannot. It's impossible. I didn't get a chance to say this, but I need to say this. If you are married, everybody pay close attention to this sermon.
But if you're married, pay attention to this sermon. I'm not saying that there's division among you. I'm just saying pay attention to this sermon. Amen? Think about this. Of course the devil doesn't want the church to stand, because it is only when we stand that we can step on his neck and crush him underneath our feet. Of course, he doesn't want, that's why he brings division. One of the things that, and I just need to be honest. How many like pastors honest? I love the message Sunday. There was a couple things that was said. The second service, I'm responsible. There are a couple things that were said in the second service that I had a problem with. Okay. And I don't have time to go over all those things. But I will tell you one thing that in the second service, you go, oh, I went to the first service. All right, then don't worry about it. But in the second service, one of the things that the speaker said, and he said, you know what? The sheep bite. How many remember when he said this? And he came over to me with some kind of agreement. Watch me real carefully. I try to be polite, but you know what? But I say this, our sheep don't bite. Can somebody say amen there? And if you do bite, I'm going to bite you back. I am smiling, right? No. Here's what I'm saying. When I came to this church, you know what? The pastor was always doing this. Why? Because the sheep kept on biting the pastor's butt. Amen? And I turned around and I say, hey, stop biting my butt. Amen? I do not appreciate it. Knock it off. Amen? Yeah. Why? Because that's not appropriate. Amen? Somebody say that's not appropriate. And you know what? And what I just, it wasn't appropriate at that point in time for me to make some correction. But as I'm developing a relationship with this young man, I'll teach him. The reason why the sheep are biting you is because you're not turning around and saying, knock it off. Amen. Our leadership council, when I first got to this church, you know what? I couldn't do anything right. Amen. And I'm not going to pastor a church like that. That every decision is wrong. A preconceived notion, every decision. We ain't doing that here, amen. Let me tell you right up front. I'm going to make some great decisions, and I'm going to make some boneheaded decisions, amen? Amen? That's why I have a board, amen? And we get together, and I say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? And we talk about it, amen? And even the board, we're not going to still make all the right decisions. But I'm going to tell you what's not going to happen. Is we're not going to have a critical spirit in this church. Amen? And if you have a critical spirit, just, you know what? Just get yourself up and walk on out of here. Amen? Amen? I don't think you should say that. Absolutely, you got to say that. Amen? Because God loves unity. Amen? Satan loves division. Amen? And we are not, and I'm not going to make all good decisions. I'm going to make a lot of good decisions. You know what? All kind of good decisions. But if I make a bad decision, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to join you. Has anybody else made a bad decision? I'm going to join you. And you know what I'm going to expect? I'm going to expect that at this church, we have mature sheep who, you know what, understand that their pastor is not perfect. That's why I tell you in advance. No. Don't put me and Tamara on that pedestal. Because all you're doing is setting up, you know what, for you to bite us.
And you to have, and you think you're self-righteous in biting. You think you're justified. Sheep are not justified in biting. You know what? The person that God has placed in authority over them. Amen? No. And we teach that over and over and over. Amen? And by the way, don't bite me and don't bite other sheep. Amen? I told you we got another dog. Amen? Can you believe it? Can you believe we got another dog? Amen? I mean, this is craziness. We got another dog. We don't need another dog. What? Another dog. Amen? And let me tell you what. And so we got four. I got four little dogs, and then I got this big dog now. Big dog. And so the big dog's cool. You know what I mean? Really, really cool dog. This is the coolest dog. And the dog's kind of like, he's got a good attitude. Okay, I'm going to do my dog impression. He's going like, hey, what's up? What's up, man? His name's Ryder. Ryder comes, hey, what's up, man? And the little dogs are like, what's up? Who are you, man? Get out of here. And they're like, can I tell you what? Listen, sheep, it's not okay that you bite your pastor. It's not okay that you criticize the pastor's family. But let me tell you what, it's also not okay that you bite other sheep. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen. And so when the dogs are, you know what, I don't say, thank God, finally a big dog is going to, you know what, jack up these little dogs who think they own the place. You know, no, I don't do that. I say, no. I separate the dogs. You know what? I swat the dogs. I tell them, no, we are nice. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we ought to act nice. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Christians ought to be nice.
Amen.
So you know what? Praise God. You know what? For the message that came Sunday. It was a great message. But let me tell you what. I'm not coming in agreement with that. We've worked too hard to train sheep to not bite us. We are your friends. We are one. Our prayer is that we would be one, like God the Father and God the Son are one. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you why we are successful to the degree that we're successful. Because we have made a decision that we ain't fighting. We're not fighting about color of carpet. We're not fighting about pews, chairs, sound system. You know, I don't like that song. You know what? You know. What song did I say we're going to sing again? Sorry. Key in my song. That's an old song. I don't like that song. And then Pastor said he's going to play it again. No. Bad little sheep. Amen. No. We don't, because here's the thing. We have attitudes about everything. You know, oh no, why? You know, everything. You know what I mean? Oh no, why they put the Hope Community? I thought it looked better without it. You know, I don't know why they got big bright lights. What do they have bright lights? What do they think it's a disco? You know what I mean? Pastor, what does he think he's? You know, what are you doing? He's going back. You know, what are you? Next thing you know, is he gonna wear those bell bottoms? You know, hey, shutteth thou upeth. Amen. Amen. And all of a sudden, you've got an attitude about everything. You know what I mean? I think this. I think that. I think, hey, I got something there. I'm thinking you ought to be quiet. Amen? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you ought to come in with an appreciation to what's going on in this church. Not a criticism. Can I tell you what I found about most people who criticize? How many are still glad you came today? You know what I found about most people who criticize? Most people criticize, you know what they do? Nothing. They're not involved in any ministry. You know what I mean? Except they have a ministry. Listen, I'm just telling you. When you hear somebody who says, I've been given a spirit of discernment. Here, all eyes up here. Here's what you need to do. I'm telling you, the people who come up to me and tell me that they've been given they have a ministry of discernment. What I found in almost to a T, those are the same people, and they have a ministry. And it's a ministry of criticism. It is a ministry, but it's not a ministry of God. It is a ministry of a kingdom, but it's not God's kingdom. Can you say amen to this? Okay, all right. What were we talking about? Is this good? Praise the Lord. So the reason why Satan wants us to be divided is because when we're divided, then we can't come against him. Does that make sense? Okay, here's what we're going to do, because, this is good. We're just going to, I need a stick here on this point, and I got too many good notes. We'll just take this up. Tomorrow, we're going to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning. News coming. All right, No. Well, you know what? Next time, not Sunday, because I got a message, but next time we meet, we'll take this up. But let me just park it here. When Tamara and I first came here, we had to make a decision. Things had to change. You've got to make a decision that you will not be in division with anyone. But many times, the person who is most irritating, I say this at funerals sometimes, I say this to get a laugh because I want people to kind of relax. You know what? They've lost a loved one. How many know the Bible says laughter does good like a medicine? And I say this, I say, hey, where is the most, you've probably heard me say this before, where is the most irritating people live? And they're thinking, where do they live? And then I say, the most irritating people that I know live in my house. And then everybody think, oh, yeah, I think the most irritating people live in my house. You know what I mean? And because you know this, you know what? You know, we go to, you know where I really like to go to eat? We don't eat there very much, but when we go there, it's so awesome. What's the barbecue place? Lucille's. You ever been to Lucille's? It's so good. It's like, God. It's so good. So I go to Lucille's, and you know what? I order more food than I could get because I want to come home the next day and I want to have Lucille's for lunch. It's really, really good. But you know what? So I have, you know, extra Lucille's, and thank God this isn't happening anymore because Tyler has a day job. But when he had a night job, you know what I mean? You know what? He'd wake up and it's about lunchtime. I'm like, man, I smell barbecue. And then I'm thinking, oh, unbelievable. And then I'd see Tyler over there on the couch, you know what I mean, just chomping down. On what? On my barbecue. What are you doing? Okay, and I know you can relate on all kinds of situations. You know, the toilet seat's up, it should be down, it's down, it should be up, you know what I mean? You know what? You ever go to the bathroom and you, like, fall in the hole? He's like, whoa! Come on, somebody. You're like, oh, I don't think you should say that in church. I'm just saying. It's irritating. Amen? It's irritating. Okay? And we laugh about it, but how many know this stuff over a period of time can really start to build up on you? Amen? We've got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision that this stuff is not going to separate us. You know, I remember back in the day, you know what, when they had these things called pagers, okay? And I know you guys are like, what's a pager? You young people are like, what's a pager? I don't even know what a pager is. A pager was this thing, and before they had cell phones, and you'd get a page, and it was like, remember when it was like cutting edge, you know what I mean? and you'd get a page, and all you'd see is somebody's phone number. Well, I remember when I'd get a page from Tamara. It's like, come on. Okay. All I'm saying is, guys, married couples, understand that the real estate between you and that person that you're irritated with is owned by Satan. The real estate, the acreage that is between you and that person that you're irritated with is owned by Satan. And it will affect every member in the family. And so you've got to make a decision, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids. How many know your kids can be irritating sometimes? And see, and the Bible says, don't let the sun set on your anger. See, you think you can, listen, don't, you cannot sin and it not affect you. Letting, you know what, being angry at someone is not okay with God. You got to, listen, this is honest truth. Listen, I don't want it. You know, people, this happens all the time. They leave the church. Or not just this church, they leave all kinds of churches. And the reason they leave the church isn't because it's God's will that they leave the church. The reason why they leave the church is because they won't be obedient to do what the word says. So the very place that God has blessed you, that God has put you to be a blessing. There's people who will listen to the sermon and they got something between me and them. And you know what? And they're like, I don't know what's going on now. You know, Pastor used to be so anointed. And now he's not anointed at all. Well, here, Bucky. Here, Bucky, why don't you do this? Why don't you just be, I mean, are you a Christian or are you not? Because if you're not, no sweat, you don't know what you're doing, and I understand, and praise God. But if you are a Christian, you ought to follow the Bible that says if you got a problem with someone, you go to them. Come to me. Say, hey, Pastor, man, that makes me so mad. You know what I mean? Man, I don't know why you got that funky haircut. You know what I mean? That makes me so mad. And then that's okay, because I can tell you, hey, I got this funky haircut. My wife likes it, and I don't really care what you think, but I care what my wife thinks. Does that make sense? And you'll go, yeah, actually, that makes sense, Pastor. Or listen, or maybe I did something wrong. Maybe you said, oh, you know, Pastor, you used to text me a lot, and now you don't text me anymore, and man, it just offends me. I'll say, dude, I'm sorry. You know, I love you. You know, text nothing. Let's go out to eat, man. I'll take you to lunch. Do you understand? See, I have no problem apologizing, but I can't apologize. First of all, because two things are going to happen. Either I'm going to apologize to you. I'm going to say, man, you're right. I'm sorry I didn't know. Or I'm going to say, hey, dude, you're acting kind of like, you know, a little baby. And hello? How many of the Bible says love is not easily offended? We're not walking around acting, ooh, that offends me, that offends me, that offends me. Hey, well, don't be so offended, amen? Amen, is that not right? And maybe in that conversation, we need to, you know what I mean? And that might offend you. But at least I have a shot in talking to you. See, that's why it's so critical that you go to your brother and talk it out and see what's going on. Amen. Amen. How many know some people their offensive meter is very touchy. Amen. But we need to listen to people. And we need to be gracious to people. And I'll be gracious to people. I'll be gracious to you, because you know what? You might have something, a point, that I didn't even know about. I didn't even see it. I'm just human. And maybe I didn't even see it. Maybe you can point it out to me. And maybe at least if you come to me, we got a shot to talk. And maybe I can talk to you and say, I don't think so, bro. Or maybe you can talk to me and I can go, oh, man, I'm sorry. But at least we got a shot. Because here's the thing. God says, and I'm getting into what I'll talk about next time. But God says, when you and I, first of all, we're called to strive for the unity of the faith. You know what that means? You know the word in the New Testament, strive, means? It means you're reaching. Do you catch that? It's every part of my body is reaching to unity! Right? Because when that happens, first of all, the Bible makes it clear, it's going to take effort from you. But it's worth it. Because the Bible says, when we will have that unity, the anointing of God will go from the top of the head to the beard. Why should we make a decision that you and I are going to be in unity no matter what songs are picked for Sunday? Here's why. Because someone is coming in Sunday who needs Jesus. And your decision to be irritated that we sang a song that you didn't like is not worth them leaving, not being changed by God.
Yeah, amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
See, and let me just make another point. And the only songs we're going to sing Sunday are about Jesus!
Yes, amen.
Yeah, you're baiting me. You want me to say it again? You know, I know you, Tony. That's all we're going to sing is about Jesus. I like country a little bit more than I used to like country, but when I started dating Tamara, I hated country. I mean, I didn't hate country. I loathed country. I remember one time going, this one church, they had Saturday night concerts, and I'd go every Saturday night. And I remember one Saturday night I went, and this guy, you know, big old boots, you know what I mean? Here I am, how are you? You know what I mean? And I was like, oh my goodness, this is gonna be so stupid. You know what I mean? And he started twangy, as twang you can get, twangy, and it was twanging this and twanging that. But he kept on singing about Jesus. It didn't take me three songs to say, this guy, I hate this music, but I love his message. And I twanged out with him for the whole time. Yeah, amen. Amen. I'm glad you came tonight. Did you learn something? All right, Father, we just thank you for your message of joy. Father, we pray that we would not allow anything to get between us and our spouses, between us and our kids, between us and our grandkids, between us and our boss, between us and the leadership of this church, that we would just make a decision that people are way, 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 way too valuable for us to allow something ridiculous to get in the way of their being touched by the power of God. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.